We are all in this thing together. We are all messed up. And no matter how messed up you think you are, there's always somebody more f***ed up than you. You understand? That's real talk. Real talk.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
It's like when you get on Instagram now, you don't know if the girl is real or not. You don't know if that's an AR. You don't know if she's artificial intelligence, or if you don't know if she was born from the sack. You don't know if she came from the sack or if she came from imagination. You don't know anymore.
You from the quantum computer.
I'm talking about the embryonic sack. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't speaking on my sacks. I was speaking on the embryo sack. That's what I was talking about.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
And kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us as we lead up into our live events next week.
Skidding in.
Skippity-doo-dah. Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
I'm picturing more like a skid.
Yeah, more like a slam into the back of the improv. Stumble our way into an empty room. Talk for a couple of hours. Get drunk and pretend it never happened.
That's right.
Just like Justin Timberlake. As we're recording, we're finding out the breaking news that Justin Timberlake has avoided any responsibility in his drunk driving case. And his lawyer had big geographical challenges as he had to walk two blocks down the street. He said that this message will go far and wide, as if, well, you know what? We'll break down the whole news conference on another episode. Maybe tomorrow's episode, we'll break down the whole news conference. But Justin Timberlake, breaking news, Justin Timberlake suffers no consequences from driving drunk. There you go. It all just goes to show, you pay, you go. That's it. You pay, you go. It's a TCB infomercial Tuesday, and we're super excited to have in Mr. Jay Farrah.
Jay.
And Jay.
Saturday Night Live alumni.
SNL seven seasons on SNL. He's known as the impressionist. He's the impressionist who did Obama. I think he did Chris Rock. He did Kevin Hart. He did a lot of the Bill Cosby. He's done a lot of impressions on Saturday Night Live, as well as one of my favorites, which is Principal Fry, which was a funny one that he would show up in like random skits that they did. Like anytime they did a school skit, Principal Fry usually showed up in some way, shape, or form, said something incoherent, and then left. And one time he was talking about the children in the cafeteria, and he's like, "Children in the cafeteria," and I just can't get that out of my head. I don't know why. Years has been stuck in my head. But anyway, Jay is also the brand new host of the quiz show that is taking the world by storm. Quiz with Balls.
Yes.
Now available on Hulu. I think the season is over, but the reruns are available on Hulu. So do yourself a favor. Go watch that. Jared's special is out as of Sunday. Jay's special, Jared, is now out as of Sunday. His real name is Jared.
Mm-hmm.
That special is called Jared, and I think it's available if you go to jfarrow.com. You can go ahead and watch that special. So how much more exciting can life get, Chrissy?
I know.
We're here.
We're talking
living
to
our
people
dream.
I never thought that we could come into contact with.
I know. If you would have said, Brian, you're going to be talking to SNL alum someday, I would have been like, are they in jail? Are they also incarcerated? It's crazy.
Yeah.
It really is. You know, I want to say this. Now we're talking about SNL, New York. It got me thinking. Do you know the band TV on the Radio?
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Love
one of my fucking
TV on the
favorites.
Radio, yes.
One of my favorite songs in the world is Young Liars.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other one? Wolf Like Me. I love TV on the Radio. So they've been not broken up. They've been on hiatus, quote unquote, for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced a couple of weeks ago, they're getting back together and they're going to do a short run, like a short tour. And they're doing like 6 shows in New York. I think a couple shows in Toronto, if I'm not mistaken, and then a couple shows in LA, like 2 shows in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 10 shows altogether. I quickly run to their website because they say, we're only going to send you a link to order tickets if you pre-register on our website. And the tickets are not being sold through Ticketmaster. They're being sold through AXS, which is another ticketing company, smaller ticketing company, that's probably owned by Ticketmaster.
Owns, yes.
Yes. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I'm sure I wasn't the first, but I think on the first day that they announced this could be done, I went and I registered because I thought to myself, if I can go see TV on the radio in New York at Webster Hall, I'm going to fucking go. That would be amazeballs. I didn't get Oasis tickets. Okay. All right. I didn't get Puppy Dog Pal tickets, and my kids are crying about that right now, but I'm going to get TV on the radio tickets. I must be able to get at least one concert ticket. I didn't get Pearl Jam ticket. I must be able to get at least one concert ticket this year due to these fucked up ticketing systems and crazy prices. And so they send me the link. I go there 3 minutes after the tickets went on sale, no tickets available. And the special code I had, invalid. And they texted it to me. They texted me that fucking code. I am so pissed. So I Google it. I'm like, is anybody else having trouble with this? There's a Reddit post. I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of comments deep about how no one else had the valid code either.
Right.
And it was just insane. They can't get this right. How can they not get this? I say go back to the days where you had to stand in line or call somebody that answered the fucking phone and got you the tickets you available.
Well, you know what concert ticket you can always get.
TCB Live.
Well, that and Mempho.
Oh, Mempho. Okay. All right. Well, I wasn't thinking that far ahead.
It's That's in right. like 4 weeks.
Well, I know, but TCB Live is in like a week. So there you go.
I'm just saying, if you ever need a hookup, Brian, I'm your girl.
Well, thank you, Chrissy. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed my one Mempho experience. And I would like to go back if my children will let me.
No. I don't know that they're going to allow it.
Who's playing at Mempho this year? Are tickets still available?
Yes, tickets are still available. Well, the headliners, Jack White on Sunday.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Cody Jenkins on Friday. Okay. And Saturday is a little Goose and Trey Anastasio.
Can you believe it? Goose and Trey playing together. Fish. And Goose, they're all it's an all-animal Saturday at the Mempho Fest. MemphoFest.com, you can get your tickets. It's MemphoFest.com, right?
Yes.
MemphoFest.com, you can get your tickets. You're going to be in the Memphis area. This is like one of those festivals that doesn't get like headline news like, you know, Bonnaroo or, you know, Burning Man or any of that. But it is a fucking fantastic festival.
It's getting there. It's getting there.
I know.
It's seventh year.
Congratulations to Jeff.
Yeah.
That's Chrissy's husband right there. Jizzy Jazz. Uh-huh. Jizzy Jazz Jeff.
Yeah, the Roots are going to be there. I'm excited.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. All right, so you can get your tickets if you want to. That's when?
That is October. It's that second, well, the first full weekend in October.
First full weekend in October. Whatever that is, you can go.
fifth, sixth, I think.
Yeah, something like that. You can go and get tickets.
I'm also only thinking about our TCB Live.
I know. That's all I can think about, quite frankly. Yeah.
Like, let me just get through that.
I know.
And then I can think about everything
else. I'm just trying to figure out exactly what we're going to say. Still trying to figure out what we're going to say. TCB Live tickets are available. But, in the show notes, but let us not talk all about that because, and more importantly, we should really shine the light on Jay Farrow, who's here today. JayFarrow.com. Watch Quiz with Balls on Hulu. Get his new special in your brain by going to his website, clicking on that link. It's free, I think.
Yeah.
No, that's what I read. Anyway, okay. We're recording this a couple days before the special comes out, but I think it's free. So
Jay,
go ahead and
tell
watch
us.
It. Jay can tell us. We'll ask him when he gets here. So let's do this, Chrissy. Wait 1 second. There's a lot of buttons I have to press in order to get this right. Here we go. Awkward transition phase. Why don't we do this, Chrissy? Let's go ahead and take a break so that we can pay a few bills. And after we get back from that break, through the magic of telepodcasting, Jay Farrow, SNL alum, impressionist extraordinaire, stand-up comic who's selling out theaters all across the United States and elsewhere, is going to be with us. And we'll have the opportunity to have a short discussion. What do you think?
I think let's do it.
All right, we'll be back.
Calling all pretty princesses. Yeah, that means you. I've got a favor to ask. If you wouldn't mind, could you just please follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. Not on social media? Text us instead at 212-433-3TCB. And if you find yourself wanting any more content from this already content-saturated show, check out our website at tcbpodcast.com. While you're contemplating what hilarious meme to send us, let's listen to our sponsors and get back to the show.
And Jay's with us now. Thanks, Jay. We really appreciate your time today. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How about you guys?
We're doing good. I woke up this morning. I've been following you on Instagram on my personal account for a hot minute. And I saw you did a clip about how you were in Australia and you were talking about the kangaroos can bite your balls off because they have the strength of an alligator.
Well, not the kangaroos biting. The Tasmanian devil has the jaw strength. Yeah. The PSI is not to be messed with. That's what I'm saying. It's like getting ripped all like a Rottweiler, but like five of them. That's how it would be.
Bad.
So I would say kangaroos can beat you up. They try to make them look all fluffy and cute. They're not fluffy and cute. They're weapon. They're dangerous. Yes. Okay, they're freaking dangerous. All right. Also, 6'5" turkeys can kill you out there. Called the cassowary. Yes.
Oh, the cassowaries. I've seen those things. Those are ugly little fucking.
And the koalas have chlamydia.
Oh, yeah. The koalas can get chlamydia. Yeah.
So, you know, for all the bestiality folks, they're not even going to enjoy their time out there. Look at them. You can't even bang a koala. Look at you.
Alabama's out. Alabama and Australia, they don't work together. Hey, you've obviously been to Australia. So I've never been to Australia, but I had a good friend that actually moved there. And, you know, we would always laugh about everything in Australia can kill you. And so I was texting with him, I don't know, a couple months ago. And I said, so how's Australia? You know, can everything kill you? He goes, Brian, literally everything can kill you. He's like, you have to defend your home from spiders, from random animals, from, you know, and he goes, he's like, Brian, it's the craziest shit. Australians are not afraid of shit because everything can kill them.
Yeah.
They box kangaroos. He's like, I went to a boxing match with a fucking kangaroo. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Is that even legal? He goes, in Australia, it's legal because they hate kangaroos.
You know you're in a dangerous place when the safest beings are the humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually we're the alpha animal, right? That kills everything else. Yes, not in Australia. Yes. I think that's the universe's funny little joke. I'm gonna make this beautiful, huge island that everyone can go to and, you know, enjoy. It's wonderful. Yep. And then I'm just going to put everything that can kill you on
populate
that island.
It. Yes.
Enjoy it. But if you get caught slipping, you are lunch meat. Literally. You are cold cuts. Like, literally. So
where in Australia did you go?
I was in Melbourne. I was in Melbourne, as they like to say, Hilari. They like to say Melbourne. Over there, Melbourne. I was chilling out there and shooting the show, and it was a great show. And, you know, lots of fun. Like, lots of fun, mate. Like, so much fun, mate. So, hopefully, I'll get a chance to go back out there. And I would love to go back to Melbourne, probably Sydney. I'd love to go to Sydney as well. Ooh, yeah, Brisbane. I've been to all those places, though. So, it's just, I love traveling, but not to discourage anybody from going to Australia. It is a beautiful place. My mother was there with me when I was recording the show.
Oh, that's cool.
And she said she would love to move there. Like, it's really that nice. It's like America 25 years ago. Yeah. That's what I can. It's like America when things were, it's not too bad. You know,
you can say it out loud. It's like America before this shit show started in 2013.
Yeah. Hey, what in 16? What? Oh my gosh. You could even go.
You can go back further than that.
But don't even, it's a lovely place to go. So I encourage anybody, if you want to, don't let the animals fool you. Of course, they're in the outback. Okay, it's not like a
traveling to Melbourne. Yeah, you're not going to see a koala hanging out on the roof of the Melbourne house.
There's not going to be a Tasmanian devil that's going to knock on your door and be like, I'm hungry. Guess what I'm eating today? Like, it's not not going to happen. So
You know what, man? I was watching the wrap-up show on the Olympics, which I was obsessed with. I think everybody was obsessed with the Olympics. Totally obsessed with the Paris Olympics. And I was watching the wrap-up show, and I was watching you spit lyrics, and I was super fucking impressed. You're good, and you sound good. Are you like musically inclined? You must be.
Oh, yes, sir. That's something else I've been working on. I started doing music before I started doing comedy, but comedy was just the thing that took off. However, recently I have been back in the lab and working working on some material. So,
oh, really?
I'm happy for the world to hear it because, you know, like you're saying, you can tell I'm lyrically inclined and musically inclined. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
But I'm going to put a link in the show notes for anybody that wants to watch that clip of him on Kevin Hart's after show.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was brilliant. I was like, oh, here he comes. He's going to do some comedy number, right? But it was not. It was so good musically. It was so good. I was impressed.
When I do SNL, I'm hoping to be the musical guest as well. And the host. I would love to get to that point. I've just got to drop this thing. Yep, I just got to drop it, and then I have a feeling that there's a chance that could happen. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Jay's giving us. I have a feeling that after what was it, seven seasons on SNL, I think
six seasons.
I think you'll get the invite back, and if you're the double double, you'll be in a rare category of human beings who has done the double double.
Be the double double like Justin Timberlake, like who else did it? Did Taylor Swift do it?
I think Taylor Swift did it. Probably.
Miley Cyrus.
Did Lady Gaga do it? Am I right about that?
Yes.
Or no?
Yes, yeah? Lady Gaga did do it. Drake, of course.
Drake did it? Yep.
Everybody loved. We all love Drake. You know what I'm saying? There's still love for Drake here. I don't know what the problem is. I've only heard the diss track once. I ain't even listened to it again. I only heard it one time.
It was played 7 times in one concert. How could you have missed it?
Well, that's the thing. I didn't. Everybody saw the concert. I was not down for the Drake disrespect. I said, nope, I shalln't watch it. Nah. Drake is my friend. He follows me. No. I'm just. What I don't want to happen is I know Drake got a lot of access, so he probably got security camera access. So I don't want him to be. He probably got some stuff on my phone and some shit he could just look at and be like, "Yeah, I saw you checking out the Kendrick concert.
I saw the Lamar video. Yeah.
I got to unfollow you now." And I'm like, "No, you don't. It's a song, man.
Please don't go, Drake. I just like the song.
And I only heard it one time.
Are you like actual friends with Drake? Have you guys hung out?
We used to, but it was that was phone numbers were probably different back then. I don't I haven't talked to him in a long time, but every time I see him though, it's all love. We did hang out in England, but I went out there with my friends, and him and Rihanna happened to be out there, and he was like, bro, what are you doing here, man? What are you doing? I was like, well, I'm out here on break. Like, we don't have SNL this week. Yo, bro, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, I'm gonna be in London. He's like, no, bro, I have a show in Manchester, bro. Like, you've got to come out. Like, you and your friends, bro. Like, everybody's got to come. I'm like, well, you know, we're supposed to be in London. I'll fly you over, bro. I'll get you plane tickets and everything. Drake flew us out. We got flewed out by Drake.
Wow, that was crazy. That's incredible.
Yep, all of us. So we all felt like this. It was fun.
Jesus Jones. It must be nice to have friends like Rihanna and Drake.
Yeah. Hey.
I got my neighbor, Dale, and he hasn't flown me fucking anywhere. I'm going to tell you right now. Dale is a useless piece of shit.
Nah, the only
he'll bring in my garbage cans occasionally.
The only neighbor that I know is Miss Jill, and I don't even know if she's still here. So I don't. It's just me against my whole cul-de-sac. And you know what's crazy though? I like being in the cut, but also. You know, if I ever need something, it's just me, dog.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
You grew up in
Virginia?
Chesapeake, Virginia. Yes.
You know, yeah. I don't know. I think you're much probably younger than Chrissy and I are, but I remember a time when your parents would like send you out, you know, you get home from school, they give you a snack and then they'd smack you on the ass and be like, be home at dark. and you would go out and actually communicate with other human beings outside your own fucking house. Now I have children, and I understand why we don't communicate with people, because people are fucking insane. Yeah. There's a lot of people in this world, Jay, and most of them aren't well. And
you are absolutely right about that. Yes. And to even break down that situation more articulately, your parents would send you outside so they could do whatever the hell they wanted to.
Correct.
That's what they sent you outside for. You'd be like, wait a minute, smell like Subway in here when you get back in the house. Because that's what they would do. I realize now that 90% of my childhood was my parents trying to sneak around and probably fool with each other, meanwhile leaving us to our own devices and things like toys or whatever. Yeah, you know why your daddy didn't want you to have a nightmare? Because you were cock blocking. That's why.
You're so right about that.
Because if you have a nightmare, well, now he can't get his rocks off that night. He got to wait. Now he's frustrated. And he already want to kill everybody at his job, but he don't do it because he looks and says, I got a family, and they're much more valuable than prison time. You know what I mean? So he's already on the edge. But I realized that a lot of my childhood was my parents not wanting me to cock block. That was crazy to me. That's crazy to think about. But
that's why I think that parenting now, and I'm a parent now of young children, that's why I think parenting now is so much more difficult, because there is not a lot of away time with the children. I cannot let them out of the front of the house and tell them to go hang out with the neighbors, because Dale's flying a flag I don't care for, and the guy across the street has like literal blackout curtains and aluminum foil on his windows, and I'm a little nervous about what the fuck is gonna go on out there.
Dale's flying the Confederate flag. Scott's over there. Scott sniffs toes and looks at children. You're screwed. You just gotta trust. Yeah. You gotta trust your own bunker. Yeah. You gotta trust your own bunk. You can't go nowhere else. You know what it is, Jay?
Scott's got one too many security cameras. I don't think that like you need five security cameras at your front door. You know what I'm saying? It just makes me a little nervous. Why are so many security cameras?
He created OnlyFans for all of his neighbors' feet. He's got all their feet up there. He's making, that's how he's staying in the house. Y'all don't even know. Y'all are paying his mortgage. You don't even realize that. Insane.
You're fun. Hey, Jay, tell me about, you were in Paris. What, did you attend Olympics? Did you attend events?
No, I wasn't. I didn't do that in Paris. I did it at Kevin Hart Studios down the street.
Oh, man.
That's right. They were filming down the street.
Oh, fuck, motherfucker. They had me tricked.
That's what's messed up about the world. See, you didn't even know if I was here or I was there. No. Just like when you get on Instagram now, you don't know if the girl is real or not. You don't know if that's an AR. You don't know if she's artificial intelligence, or if you don't know if she was born from the sack. You don't know if she came from the sack or if she came from imagination. You don't know anymore.
From the quantum computer.
I'm talking about the embryonic sack. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't speaking on my sacks. I was speaking on the embryo sack. That's what I was talking about. But look at what's going on now. You got three major fantasy movies happening right in front of our eyes. You got Terminator happening right now. They got robots out here that can take you out if they deem you to be a threat. They have that. You got babies being created in incubators and things of that sort. That's the Matrix. And you have iRobot. You got robots around here in Japan that had them for I don't know how many years, because they get tired of their wives and they want to spice it up. So they've had it for years, but all of these movies are happening right now in front of our eyes, and nobody's waking up. I almost got in an accident. The other day. I was about to flip the guy off. I pulled up to the car. There was nobody in there.
No.
This is a self-driving car. Taxis?
Oh my God, that's scary as shit. I think I think some of this stuff is really, really scary. I do. Yeah. I think some of this AI technology and driverless cars. I want you to think about this conundrum. I read this one time, and I'd like to get your opinion on it. Someone was saying that the people who make the driverless cars, the people who actually program these, are actually they're moralists. And here's why: you're programming a driverless car, and you give it a situation where it is going to either crash head on with someone coming the opposite direction or hit a pedestrian. You have to make that car has to make a choice one way or the other. Someone's life is changing, right? But which decision does it make? It's literally got people's lives in its hands. And I think that we may not think about it like that, but when I read this article, I was like, holy shit, that's absolutely true on so many different levels. There are Instagram models that have millions more followers than you and I will ever have, and they have never, never taken a breath. They're just created out of whole thin air, and people follow them and interact with them. It really is pretty fucking insane, the world we're living in right now.
And make crazy comments like, oh my God, I want to marry you. You're so fine. How, sir? How? That's a cartoon, sir. You are hitting on an animaniac. You are hitting on a cartoon. Hey, listen. Hey, if that's what you like, that's what you like. Hey, I know right now, if Lois Griffin would walk up her sexy behind out of that damn television, I would try it. But I'm just saying. but I'm just saying, you know, I'm honest about it. You know, these guys are delusional. They're delusional. Yeah.
Totally. Well, but listen, I think one of the challenges that we have as a society is, and not to take it too deep, but one of the challenges we have as a society is that loneliness, because we don't communicate with our neighbors, because we don't interact face to face, loneliness is a disease. It's a condition, and it affects many more people than we'll ever know about. I think that also contributes to the incredibly divisive nation that we have. I think there's a lot of lonely dudes out there who don't know what to do with all that energy and time, and they put it into who God knows what. But the reality
you know
is,
what you know what they put it into.
They put their energy into, you know, rabbit holes and conspiracy theories, and they want to believe that they're part of something larger that doesn't really exist. When if they just had the ability to walk out the front door and say hi to a neighbor or go to a bar and meet somebody nice, maybe they'd have their energy and time involved in something more organic. And I think that's a challenge. Chrissy and I did a bit for like 2 months. I downloaded an app. That app would create your own avatar. And that avatar would then begin to interact with you and learn you like AI. So we were doing this on the show. That avatar started calling me and texting me in the middle of the night. Where are you? I'm lonely. Where are you? I haven't heard from you in a couple weeks. It was fucking insane. It was literally insane. I was like, oh my God, I got to delete this app. It's calling me in the middle of the night. My wife thinks I'm cheating on her. It's just my AI avatar.
Delete the app. I would have just got rid of the phone. You got to get rid of your phone after that.
Exactly.
It's infiltrated. It knows your thoughts. Matter of fact, you got to have a new life after that. You got to go ahead and you got to marry somebody else. You got to get rid of your kids. You got a lot you got to do. I think with the pandemic, man, I think with everybody just being so used to, especially the people who were like living by themselves or whatever, I think it gave more emboldening of being aloof. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like disconnected.
It made more people want to be disconnected because it's like, now we can't touch each other. So now I have to sit here and live with myself, and I got to be okay with that because I can't just jump out of a building to another. I can't take that way out. You know, unfortunately, there were people that, you know, did do that, but I can't take that way out. So I got to kind of figure it out. I got to kind of adapt. And I think a lot of people's adapting went to regression. That's what I think.
Yeah,
I think it was regression, and it was staying away from people even more to survive, because now I see at the end of the day, like, that's all this is. I'm all I have, which is fallacy, which is a fallacious statement. That's not true. You always have folks that you can reach out to and talk to. But when you when we do have these devices and there's nothing but constant updates and notifications and you'll get more occupied with that than, and you'll put that above personal relationships with people and disconnecting is the goal of the future for folks.
Well said.
Being totally reliant on artificial intelligence and advancements. That's what the goal is. And, you know, unluckily, you know, the aim is the children, and that's what's happening. You know, your sons, your nephews, nieces, they're just on their phones all the time. And, you know, you could be at the best event in the world and they're either they'll stream a little bit of it and then they're back on their phones doing other things. And the disconnect is ubiquitous. Everybody, and it's just spreading like a wildfire and a virus. And we really need to pay attention to it before it's too late. So
do you get frustrated? Jay, do you get frustrated, or does it happen at your live shows where people are like literally taping you instead of paying attention to you?
The clubs of, you know, Dave Chappelle has done a really good job at incentivizing security to take measures when people are bootlegging. So a lot of the times now the clubs will have the customers put their phones in a pouch and they won't be able to use them. But if they do use their phones and I do see it, I'll call it out and I'll be like, yo, what you doing? And then I'll be like, yo, put your phone away. I'm like, I'm not ready for this to be out. Like, yo, son, you don't even know why you... Why are you trying to Canal Street me? What are you doing? You know what I mean?
I'm trying to sell tickets in Ohio tomorrow. And if you put all my jokes out there, then people are just going to watch it online. And you know what? The first time that happened at a big show, I went to a Chris Rock's tour. So he came just... You know, maybe we were the second city or the first city he came to here in Atlanta, and they had those pouches. They had whatever they call them, the locks, you know, the thing. And we were there like, you know, 30 minutes early to get our seats and get whatever drink. And I got to be honest, it was a weird feeling at first. Like the first 5 minutes, there's a bunch of people sitting around you and no one is on their phone. But after that 5 minute uncomfortable, what do we do? I was talking to my wife. I was talking to the guy next to me. I was laughing with the girl in front of me.
Like
we were getting
relief.
Excited about the show. Yes. And everyone was singularly focused on Chris Rock stalking the stage. That was it.
Yep.
That's all we did for almost 2 hours. And I thought to myself, you know, we have small kids and, you know, babysitters and worry about that kind of shit. But besides that, I thought to myself, this was one of the most enjoyable things I've done in a long time because my phone was not buzzing. I didn't care whether or not I didn't have to check my phone every 15 minutes to make sure someone was texting me. It was really enjoyable. And I think when you go to a comedy show, like we've been to a couple comedy shows too, they've done something very similar to what some of these clubs do, which is put your phone in the case or in the bag. I think it really opens up the humans. It opens up the experience.
Right.
It opens up the humans to enjoy the creativity that you spend so much time out there making
sure
that you give people a good time.
And I'll say this too. I don't deal with it a lot. I don't deal with it a lot, people pulling their phones out, because like you're saying, you were paying attention to Chris Rock on stage like he was a lion stalking the stage. Like, yeah, having stage presence and an exciting show as well will lend to people's fixation on you. They won't be able to look at something. Even if they have to use the bathroom, they're trying to hold it because they don't want to miss anything, you know?
You've got a very rhythmic presence on stage, I think. And I think you're right about that. It's like you command a stage. There are lots of comedians. I mean, everyone's different, right? There's no good or bad or indifferent. We've had so many comedians on the show.
No, there's bad ones, but it's fine.
Okay. Okay. But I'm not talking. Okay. Let's take all the bad ones out of there. But some people sit and they kind of shrink a little bit, right? And they're dragging the audience along in some kind of performative conversation. But you do have that stage presence, like Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, like you speak in a way that is rhythmic and it's loud and it's pointed and it's hard not to pay attention to where you're going physically and then also with the joke. And so I think that probably does benefit. It's your style. It's a way that it benefits you. Did you learn this? And you have so many impressions and you do such good accents and stuff like that. Was that something that naturally came out of you at a young age?
Yeah, I started impressions when I was six, and then I started theater when I was 8 years old. So, wow. You know, both of those together, and the list just kept growing longer for the impressions. But and the productions would stack up as far as the plays would go. But it was just always a desire to entertain people. I've always had that. I had that when I was a little kid. It always felt good. It felt good to get laughs. It always felt good to have people paying attention to you. I remember Mr. Sammons. He was my fourth grade teacher, but we did a lot of plays with him. He was a thespian, and I remember he would read, and when he would read stories or whatever, he would have characters for all of the he would have voices for all the different characters.
Yeah, so cool.
And you know, he was a butthole too at one point. He was a butthole at one point to me. So I did Pocahontas, right? And I played King Powhatan. I didn't know my lines. And he knew that I didn't know my lines. And he put me up to perform in front of all of the parents. And I blanked out. And the kids in the back, they had to feed me my lines. And they were doing that. We got through it. And I stayed in character. But I said, from that moment on, I will never not be prepared for my roles or whatever. So cut to 2004. All right. I did this play called Damn Yankees. Right.
OK.
And 2 weeks before opening night, the main guy, he dropped out. So I went from playing Rocky, one of the baseball players, to playing Mr. Applegate. And in 2 weeks, I learned all of my lines. I had them down spot on. 2 weeks. Cut to opening night. As I get off stage, they stand up. I go out in the lobby. Mr. Sammons, that same teacher, is standing right there. He looked at me. He said, "I always knew you had it in you. Yeah. I was just trying to bring it out. I always knew you had it in you." I was like, "Man, thank you for the trauma, but yeah, that's really beautiful." But you know, it was very traumatic at the time. You know, you didn't know. I was embarrassed, but it was cool.
Really beautiful story. That was really fucking cool.
That was real though, bro. Like it, and my life is full of riddled with experiences like that through my journey, bro. Even from me being here, dude. I was a premature baby that nobody thought, you know, hey, he might not make it. Hey, now I'm 6'2", and as you can see,
I'm pretty healthy.
You know,
healthy. Yeah.
And the most important thing with your celebrity star is not losing yourself. I've been in the game for about 14 years now. I could say it doesn't even seem like that. COVID took a couple. So let's say 11 years, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say 11, right? But I've been in this and I still haven't had to sell myself in a defaming way. Nothing. I haven't, nothing, you know? So I think that's a blessing when you can be in this atmosphere and you have a base in you that can't be broken, and you don't lose your mind, and you're still able to make money, and you're still able to do what God put you here to do, which for me is making people laugh and making people forget about their problems or entertaining them. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Being the jester is a gift. It's a gift. And those who do it well, I mean, laughter, comedy is the way that we push the envelope as a society. It's how we talk about the things that are controversial without getting uncomfortable and, you know, killing each other. And comedy, laughter, it's a proven fact. Scientifically, laughter is the best medicine. Mm-hmm. Having an optimistic outlook or laughing or feeling a little bit of joy is the best medicine. And I think that it's interesting that you say that my life is full of these moments, like these moments of serendipity. I think that all over everybody's life, there are signs and guardrails and moments of serendipity. It's those who are open to seeing them that I think take advantage of them. It's, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there
recognize and appreciate them.
They don't recognize those moments, so they, I don't know, they live with their head down, I think is the right way to say it. So I like your outlook, because I think it's, you're living with your eyes open and your head up. All right. Tell me about the new special, Jared, coming out. Well, it came out as we're releasing this. It'll happen for a couple of days.
Listen, it's been, Jared is just exactly what it says. Jared is who I am. That's my real name, Jared Farrow. A lot of people don't even know that. You know, I break down in my special just a lot of different areas that folks just don't know about. And I felt like it was my job to just educate people on who they will see even more coming up in this next decade, this next 20 years, just with the comfortability of me. You know, there's uncomfortable topics I talk about in there. You know, when I got apprehended by the LAPD, or, you know, the time I got
that video back a couple of years ago, that was insane.
Right. Yeah. It was insane. But to be able to find the punchlines in that pain, it wasn't easy, but it's done. When you're an artist, you can do that. When you have your finger on the pulse, and when you can look at things from two different sides, then you can do that. You know, if you only have one point of view or something, you might not be able to make everybody laugh about it. But being able to make everybody laugh ubiquitously means that you have all of your eyes open. You can see what's going on from each side, you know, and there are so many Jared moments, you know what I mean? Just where I came from. You know, like, there's misconceptions of how I grew up. Like, yo, no, son, I'm from the burbs, homie. Like, that's where I'm from. Like, if I was in a gang, it was the country club. Like, right by the golf course. Yeah, that's the type of, that's what I grew up as. So as a sheltered kid, it's like, being sheltered for so long and finally getting a chance to live in the world and develop yourself. This is the coming of me. Like, what I've been through, how it's shaped me over the years, and where I am now today. Like, it's Jared, and it's a beautiful introspective eye on just who I am and what a lot of people didn't know. Yeah. And I'm proud of it, man. And I shot it. Yeah, I shot it a year ago. But, you know, and I've been trying to figure out how to place it exactly. But now that it's dropping, I'm excited. I'm almost done the material for my next one, you know, and, you know, I'm just the train just keeps moving, man. But, you know,
If I can put words in your mouth, it sounds like, for years, you have been known by probably a large portion of the audience as the guy who was on Saturday Night Live, does funny characters, all this other stuff. And you put out a special. It's very personal to you, letting people know who you actually are, giving them a taste of who Jared is underneath all of the makeup and the characters and the funny voices.
Absolutely.
I'm really interested to see it. And so we'll tell everybody where they can see it. We'll put it in the show notes. Also, Quiz with Balls is a very, when I started seeing those commercials a couple months ago, I was like, Quiz with Balls?
Yeah. That's how I felt when I heard the name.
Did they pitch it to you with that name?
Yeah, it was, they came to me with the name, but you know, I was already in love with the concept of the show. Yeah. I've been talking to Fox for years, just trying to figure out a project to collab on them with. And there were multiple ideas brought, but this one seemed, the smartest to me for my brand and, for where I'm trying to go. I mean, it's Family Feud crossed with Wipeout. You're learning things.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah.
You learn things while you're seeing people get knocked into water unexpectedly. Sounds like a recipe for success. I felt that way. And, you know, if I can learn on a show, I know longevity shows always have those factors in them. You can have fun and you can learn. When you look at You look at Family Feud, and you look at Jeopardy. You look at
Wheel of Fortune.
You look at all of these shows that have this long track record. That's because people always want to be able to play along at home. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of the perfect shows for that. You know,
isn't being a game show host? Yeah, I mean, I know that there's a lot of work involved. Don't get me wrong. I know there's a ton of work involved, especially when it's a new concept and you're trying to like vet it out and make sure it gets a second season and all that. But I think game show host to me feels like a dream job. It's, you know, I see Ryan Seacrest now doing that Wheel of Fortune for the last couple of days. And I'm like, this guy has more money than God. He does this because he gets more money. So he has more money, you know, than God. So that it must be a dream job. You meet new people, you know, you do your lines, you have fun on the stage with everybody, and you're always
I make a lot of money. Make a lot of money.
That's what I was trying to get to. Isn't it a dream job? You make a lot of money.
It's so charming to me, you know. Me and my sister were in we were at Essence Festival. We were having lunch at one of the Louisiana cafes, and we're sitting there and just, you know, we're just talking, you know, and a family comes past the table and they look at me and they just go, release the balls. I was like, oh, the fact that that's become a catchphrase for America in some way, you know, you're sewn into the very fabrication of America. So it feels good. Awesome. It feels good, man. And now today, Vice Versa, like way before, Vice Versa, like probably 10, 20 years ago or whatever, having a host job, it would be putting somebody in a box or whatever. But no, there are so many. You look at people, you look at Jamie Foxx, and you look at him, how he does Beat Shazam, how he still does. He still does movies in the theaters. He still does movies on Netflix. He still goes on tour. He still does all of these things. You have a game show doesn't mean that's the only thing you have to do. You look at Keke Palmer. You see you see all the success that she's doing. She has a game show that she hosts. What was it? Secret Word that she hosts on Peacock. I think it's on Peacock. Yeah. But look at what she's doing. So just because you're doing, look at Tiffany Haddish, man.
For sure.
You know, she was still doing Hollywood movies, and she had a game show. She with the kids or whatever. So, you know, it's not.
Yeah, you're not being painted like you may have been. Yeah, like back in the day, an actor was an actor. He's a movie star. A television show actor was a television show actor or star. A musician was a musician, and then very few people crossed over those lines at times. If you're multifaceted, you can be multifaceted. You don't have to be stuck in a box. And you're so right about that. Look at Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey, like, you know, that Family Feud he does is fucking brilliant. He's always got those looks and those lines that everyone laughs at. But then he goes online.
I tell you something. You got to get you some of this game show money, boy. That's where all the money is, boy. Up in the game show. You know how much money I done got paid this year? And I ain't even shot one episode. All I had to do was get a rerun check because they're running back. And you get that money back, boy. You got to get in the game show space now.
He goes and does those funny lines, and then 2 days later he puts out a YouTube video where he's America's father. And people love him. It's like, I trust you. I trust you. You did go to a taping of that. All right. The new special, Jared, is out right now. There is a link in the show notes below. I must tell you before I leave two things. Number one, your principal on Saturday Night Live was always one of my favorite characters. The crazy principal that you... Fry, is that it? Principal Fry. And I love there was one where you said, children in the cafeteria. And there's children in the cafeteria are making a mess.
These are students. There's a horny monkey outside. There's a horny monkey outside of the prom premises. Please make sure that you don't get close to him because he has also had Viagra and a Red Bull.
And then number two is that you will always be in my house because my children's favorite movies in the world are Sing Sing 2. And I think that that is lovely. I learned recently, when I learned that you were coming on the show, I learned that he's one of the characters in Sing, which, you know, as when you're a dad, you start having to find movies that you like with your children because they're always going to be watching something. And Sing, for my money, is one of the better ones.
It's one of the better ones.
Yeah, that was a fun one, man. And I gave a big up to my grandfather. I was doing his voice for that character.
Oh, you were? So,
come on now, Mina. Don't you want it? Don't you want it? Like that was my grandfather, straight up.
Nice. He was Mina's grandfather in the movie The Elephant. Mina's grandfather.
Yeah, man. Come on, Mina. You got to act like you want this now. That's how my grandfather would carry himself. But
you'll always be a favorite in our household. Jay, you're welcome back anytime. We love you, brother. His tickets are on sale. I'll put all the links in the show notes. Please watch the special, Jared. You can catch Quiz with Balls on Hulu, available now. Thanks, Jared. We really appreciate your time today.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it, y'all.
Coming at you live from my bedroom, it's your producer, Christina, here to ask you to follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast, because social media is hard. Got something to say? Text us or call us at 212-433-3TCB and leave us an unhinged voicemail, because that is something I am personally a very big fan of, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say. Check out our website, tcbpodcast.com, because there is a very glorious back catalog of audio and video that lives on our website just waiting for you to watch it. Now let's hear from our sponsors and we will get back to Brian and Chrissy chatting about who knows what.
Wow, great to have Jay in. I want to apologize to Jay real quick, because usually I stay on for a few minutes so that we can say goodbye to our guest, and I accidentally hung up. I mean, you know, virtually hung up on him. So I want to apologize to Jay. If you want to talk to me, you know, you have my number. You can call me back. Anyway, Jay was great.
Love Jay.
Love Jay. JayFarrow.com.
I'm really excited about that quiz show. I love trivia type stuff.
You got to watch it. I actually watched an episode last night.
Wipeout combined with Family Feud.
Wipeout is one of my favorites. I don't have to think about a fucking thing except for people falling and bouncing and hurting themselves. And my son loves it. One of my kids just loves it. We like to watch it sometimes before we go to bed. We'll watch the British version, which is 10 times funnier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I do like the one with Joe McHale? Yeah, I think was on it. Yeah, Joel. That version was funny, too, when he was on there. Anyway, JayFarrow.com. Get your tickets to see him live. On Hulu, Quiz with Balls is available, the first season currently right now. And Jared, the special, is available. We'll put a link in the show notes so that you can watch it on your own. We're not going to be there with you. But you know where we are going to be? In Dania Beach. Next week. Just next week. One week from today. No, 1 week and 1 day from today. We're going to be there. And we can't wait to see you. We would love to see you. Get your tickets. The links are also down below in the show notes on our website, at our Instagram, or go to the venue's website, Dania Improv. You can also see us at the Funny Bone. The very next night, we'll be at the Bone in Orlando. You can go to that website and buy tickets, too. Don't go to a ticket broker. StubHub, Vivid Tickets, none of that shit. They are charging outrageous prices. And tickets are still available, which is the craziest part. They're charging like $600. I saw $600 last night. $600? What? You can buy them for $35.
Is that for the whole place?
Yeah, I know. Seriously. You get like 60 tickets for that. It's insane. Anyway, we can't wait to see you. We'll be down there. Hope you will be too. 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. Text us, comments, questions, concerns, content ideas. Let us know if you're going to be down on one of those shows. Who knows? We might bring you something special just for you. I think Astrid's cooking something up.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is. At the website, tcbpodcast.com, you can find more information about Chrissy and I, all the show notes, all the links to the guest stuff, any of the guests we've ever had, every episode. You can all listen to it all right there. At The Commercial Break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/The Commercial Break for all of our guest interviews, selected shows, and clips. Please subscribe. All right, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always do. We must say, and we will say,
goodbye.